This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Well, I got the owners' meetings. What, March 30th through April 2nd,
yep.
Which is next week. And remember, famously, infamously, 2 years ago is when John Harbaugh was meeting the media he loved so much. Yeah. When they dropped the hammer that Lamar requested a trade. Of course, that was all settled. Thank you very much. And since then, Lamar's won an MVP. Probably should have won one again this season. But this year at the owners' meetings, I mean, I don't think John Harbaugh is going to get ambushed, but the Justin Tucker story still kind of resonates. And Ben Cleveland at the combine, well, he's pre-agent. I mean, where he's coming back because the Ravens re-signed him. But how much Tucker talk are we going to get here at the owners' meetings from a Baltimore perspective as Justin Tucker has brought in legal representation who specialize in people that try to ruin your rep? Which right now, his reputation has taken a severe hit for sure.
No question about it. And I would think they'll definitely get those questions. And if Bisciotti were to talk to anybody, that would be the first question that they would ask him. You know, normally he kind of does a off the record sometimes with some media people down at the owner's meeting. He may stay away from it altogether.
Haven't heard from him in a couple years, right?
No.
In an extended sort of interview
format.
Because it was by invitation only a couple of years ago, which led to some being excluded, and then had massive meltdowns because of it. But that's, you know, doesn't really affect me one way or another. But drama-free, I guess, is what
we'll expect from Baltimore. I don't think there's going to be, you know, anything. You know, I guess there'll be talk of rule changes and stuff, which a lot of them probably they'll get tabled and nothing is going to pass right away. And Bob, they're out of there. I mean, they come in on Sunday and they're out of there by noon on Wednesday. So it's in and out. They're down there in West Palm. And I would imagine maybe this is when Harbs and Eric and all them go to Florida, because the meetings are in Florida, right down by where Bisciotti lives. So maybe they'll be doing their meetings. And one of the big things that I would think one of the other things that they'll be asked first and foremost, at least Eric will be, extension for Derrick Henry. That's got to be coming, you know, because of what happened with Barkley and, you know, the kind of year that Henry had.
Yeah, and DaCosta made it sound like a foregone conclusion that that was going to be a reality to keep him around. But the price tag
went up.
Has gone up significantly for sure. But as we've gone through the first wave of free agency in the National Football League and the Ravens, big news, they re-signed Ronnie Stanley, which was huge for them. But they win the division last year by two games. Over the Steelers, Cincinnati was 9-8, Cleveland dreadful at 3-14. As we sit here on March 24th, my humble opinion, if anything, and the Ravens still have holes to fill, especially on defense, they've kind of, with all due respect to the Steelers and the Bengals keeping their big three together on offense, I think the Ravens are significantly above the rest of the division on paper, talent-wise, again, as we sit on March 24th.
Yeah, the only thing, you know, you see what Pittsburgh with Metcalf, you know, that's a big get
for
them.
But now George Pickens is in the whiny phase of things.
And the thing with Cleveland and Pittsburgh, they have no quarterback. And I mean, and that's an issue because neither one, they can't score points. You know, so it's going to be interesting. And with Cincinnati, you know, what's going to happen with Hendrickson? If they lose Hendrickson, that's their best defensive player. So how have they, you know, gotten better? You know, they signed their receivers. All right, they had them last year.
Yep.
So what is different? And like you said, Bob, I think the Ravens have gotten better. And I think the Ravens, I'm with you. I think they've separated, as of today, they've separated themselves even more from the division.
And look, they were good enough, Baltimore, to play with Kansas City, play with Buffalo. They split with the Bills, losing in the playoffs, unfortunately, lost to the Chiefs in the opener of the season. But, you know, Houston, the Chargers, there's a fine line between the upper echelons, the haves, if you will, in the AFC. And the Ravens are going to be, as long as Lamar Jackson's healthy, let's stress that.
Yes.
They're going to be awesome. If Cooper Rush has to start more than two games, things will change dramatically. But that's in Buffalo, in L.A., or whatever. But I think the Ravens, it's Super Bowl or bust. Falling short, even getting to the championship game, I don't know, is going to be good enough. Because, you know, the window's still open because you have a franchise guy calling the shots behind center. But, you know, I mean, the Henry window's probably only got another year or two left.
Yeah, right.
So time to poop or get off the pot in the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah, Bob, I'm saying this, that Eric's putting all his chips in the pile for this year because, you know, you've still got you've got a good team. You don't have a lot of needs because when you look at next year, you got three tight ends that are going to be free agents. You got to sign Hamilton. You got to sign Linderbaum. You know, you've got Travis Jones you got to sign. You know, what happens with Van Oy? What happens with Oway? You got a huge offseason coming. Where this one, let's just get our guys back. We got Stanley back. We got Ricard back. You know, Andrews is going nowhere. So, you know, got Hopkins. So, there's going to be a move or two yet, Bob, because it's all about Super Bowl or bust.
Right, it's in Levi's Stadium, or at Levi's Stadium. And Nolan, real quick before we hit the break, we just talked about the Terp Sweet 16. Hey, we're cool with it. Everything else is gravy. Yeah. Orioles get to the playoffs third year in a row. Well, they better win a series.
No doubt.
Because that'll become an issue. But for the Ravens, the bar is really high.
Oh.
So do you agree, Nolan McGraw, Super Bowl or bust?
Right. Has been for a few years now, and that won't change. I was almost ready to say that won't change as long as Lamar's here. But obviously there will be years, you know, who knows how far down the road they'll come where, you know, yes, they're still a contender, but they're not a true Super Bowl contender. The Super Bowl window isn't as wide open as it is right now. But you do get that sense that as long as Lamar's here and Lamar's healthy, they should have a shot any given year.
But even getting to the AFC Championship game, and that if they do it, would be second time in 3 years. If they don't advance past there and they lose to, say, Buffalo or Kansas City or maybe the Chargers, perhaps, we think they'll be better than they were when they made the playoffs this year. And it's going to be unacceptable. I mean, 17-0, every 17 Pro Bowlers, Harb's Coach of the Year, Eric's Executive of the Year. They don't get the Super Bowl. I think most fans are going to be pretty like, okay, whatever.
They got to do like the Eagles, Bob, is look at all the players the Eagles lost this past season. You know, I mean, I think that's to the point of all in. Everything has got to be about this year, I think. Just because next year there's going to be a lot of changes. They got a lot of contracts they got to do. Guys are going to be leaving. You know, Humphrey's probably gone. Van Noy's, you know, a lot of those guys are going to be gone. So this is it. This is the big shot right here.
It's 5880-1057. The Fan will talk more football with Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk at 1 o'clock. Now, the draft profiles, matter of fact, may be filling a need at a certain position. Stick around. 1245, we'll let you know. But when we come back, we got the buy or sell portion. Where's the dough? I mean, if I'm going to complain about one thing selfishly about the Maryland game, they didn't cover the 7.5. See, the old Bobster took it on the chin with that little game back. Hey, they won. It's all that matters. It eases the pain. But I could use a couple extra bucks, and the Yankees could use a couple extra pitchers. Where are they getting them? Pete Caldera, Bergen Record at 1230.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
1057. The Fan.
Hey, 1057. 105.7 The Fan. Epic week here locally. World of Sports, Terps Sweet 16. Orioles start their season coming up here on Thursday in Toronto, taking on the Nats, as a matter of fact. In less than an hour down at D.C., you can check it out on Masson 2 if you choose to do so. We'll keep you up to date on the score. Final hour of the show, NFL draft about a month from today. So a lot to get into right now, though. Let's count some dough by yourself.
Well, we're making money today. The Dow is up 541. The S&P's up 93. NASDAQ's up 370. DraftKings up $1.37. Under Armour's up 7 cents.
All right, we'll start in Major League Baseball today, where if you thought the Orioles had some rotation concerns, or at least their rotation was questionable on paper, we'll take a look across the division at what the Rays are going to be rolling out there as opening day approaches. Now, they've made a habit over the years out of getting good results without the flashy individual performances or big free agency spending. To put it in perspective, 2022, the only season in the last 7 years that they've had two pitchers toss at least 150 innings. And that's a pretty low bar to clear. We're not talking 180 to 200, just 150. That's, I mean, a back end of the rotation starter should achieve that. But it's been a rarity for him. Shane McClanahan, he's going to be injured. Behind him in the prospective rotation, the likes of Bradley, Boz, Littell, and Pepio. But buy or sell, Bob, the Rays will not have two pitchers surpass 150 innings pitched again this season.
Yeah, I'll buy that. And Pepio's not a bad pitcher. I mean, there's some intrigue with some of the dudes in that rotation, but McClanahan's a stud. He just can't stay healthy. And as you just mentioned, Nolan, going to start the year on the IL, tricep issue for him. Yeah, Toronto, by default, right now looks like they have the best rotation in the American League East.
Over to the NFL, talked last week about all the proposed rule changes that are being voted on right now, or will be voted on at the owners' meetings next week in the NFL. The league will also consider some tweaks to the overtime format, mainly making the extra quarter a full 15 minutes rather than what it is right now, an abbreviated 10-minute period. I could be wrong, but I thought this entire time the reasoning behind 10 minutes versus a full 15 stemmed from injury concerns, natural wear and tear, especially if you have a team that goes to overtime on a Sunday, then they've got a short week to play again on Thursday. The league wanted a little less wear and tear, but as we know, with the way the league schedules games now, just go ahead and throw player safety to the wayside. It's not even a consideration at all. We're playing on Christmas every year, no matter what. Examples go on and on, but Vinny, are you buying or selling that overtime in the NFL should be a full 15 minutes rather than 10?
I'm gonna sell that. You know, I think it's kind of like, you know, like in hockey, they just go 5 minutes overtime and then they go to a shootout. You know, but then in the playoffs, you play a regular whole period when all that's out. So I think during the regular season, 10 minutes, it's plenty. Especially you go to 18 games. I mean, that's a lot of football that you're playing.
Go over to college athletics here, mainly college basketball. Revenue sharing going to be coming to the NCAA under new tweaks to the NIL rules, and it's going to continue to dominate the headlines, especially this March. Schools with multiple major sports to tend to will now have the task of dividing the pie in a way that keeps everyone happy, or at least financially satisfied. And some experts here have theorized that the new rules on revenue sharing could favor schools who only have to focus on one of the major sports. For example, Villanova would be notable here. They've got a very prominent basketball program, whereas football is not even FBS. You know, they don't have to allocate as much money to them. Experts would say that that is a boost for Villanova in their basketball program, would make them even more elite than they have been in the past. But are you buying or selling that, Bob, that we'll see an immediate impact when these rules get voted in prior to next year?
I'm going to sell it. I think Villanova and Gonzaga, well, Gonzaga's moving to what? Their basketball, they're going to play in the Pac-12, the newly assembled one, but they don't have a football program. Marquette falls into that, Georgetown, among others. But I don't see an impact that would benefit them from an NIL perspective more than it would benefit, say, Syracuse or somebody like that. Now, Maryland, on the other hand, that's a problema. I don't know if you heard, but the coach has been complaining about that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that pie gets divvied up. And, you know, when the basketball team in some days has more at the Xfinity Center than they do at Maryland CQ Stadium for football, that's a problemo. And Maryland football is always, or basketball rather, has always had more street cred than the football program. With all due respect to Bobby Ross and Fridge and everyone, of course.
You know, the teams that get hurt are the teams that have a lot of money-making sports. You know, I'll just give you, like, for example, like Penn State, they have football, they have basketball, they have wrestling, they have hockey. You know, so the wrestling and hockey and all them, you know, they're going to get, and football's going to take 75, 80%. And then you got to divvy up the rest with revenue-making teams.
And we'll close with this topic here in the NFL. The Giants having some trouble convincing any quarterback to sign with them this offseason. Well, that changed. They've landed on Jameis Winston, at least for the time being. Expectations are that they'll still draft one next month. But how soon that guy will be ready remains to be seen. Very likely that Winston would be leaned on at least to start the year, at the very least. And over recent seasons, look, I mean, we know his track record. He has really high moments, like he plays well against the Ravens, and then he has really low moments where you're asking yourself,
everybody else, he plays poorly.
Yeah, how is this guy still in the NFL? But he has made 17 total starts across the last five seasons, so fairly prominent for a backup. By yourself, Vinny, Winston will make more than seven starts with the Giants this year. That's been his high watermark. No more than seven in any given year.
Yeah, because then they find out about it. He throws like 15 interceptions. I'll buy it. I mean, they've had a scout, they said, at every one of Shadur Sanders' games during the season. I mean, if Shadur doesn't go to the Giants, he'll be probably around for a while in the first round. So is he going to be ready to play? I don't know. I just think it's a bad situation for whatever quarterback.
Well, they're going to be cleaning house after this season.
No doubt. Right? If you're Shadur, you know, then, all right, I'm going to have an offense that I'm putting in now. Then I got another one in another year. I mean, it's a joke.
Oh, by the way, I don't want to bring up a bad Ravens memory, but Jameis should have threw three picks in that game.
Oh, no
at
doubt.
At least. A lot of Manos DiPietros
Eddie
from the
Jackson.
Ravens DBs. We'll come back, talks about Yankees baseball, defending American League champs. They got some injury problems in the rotation. Giancarlo Stanton, we going to see him at all? Are they still, however, on paper the team to beat as at least we begin this season in the American League East? Another draft profile going to Boston College, talking defense around 12:45. Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk, have some NFL lunch with him. From the Bergen Record, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show. Yes, time flies. He's Pete Caldera. Pete, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again in Baltimore. I hope your off season went well.
Thank you. Yeah, great to be with you. I'm still here in Tampa. Most of the Yankees are on the other side of Florida playing an exhibition game against the Mets. But there's a stay-back group of Yankees that are getting ready to go to Miami for their last exhibition game tomorrow, and then they'll start the season in New York on Thursday.
Now, we've been doing a lot of, I don't say whining or complaining, but just kind of dealing with the realities of the situation. No Gunner start the season, but shouldn't be out that long. Grayson Rodriguez, that's another matter altogether out of the rotation. Kittredge, he's got knee surgery, won't be seeing him maybe till the All-Star break. So, Orioles have had their share of injuries for sure, but should the Oriole fans stop whining, given what's going on with New York, and in particular in the rotation right now? We know Garrett Cole's going to be out. Luis Gil's going to be out for a while. But Cole for the season. But what's Clark Schmidt's deal? What's the injury concern right now, Pete, for the New York starting rotation?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was not a spring training you would have wanted to draw up the way the injuries have hit this team. But you know, this is a veteran team that, and that's the risk. You mentioned Clark Schmidt. You know, he's going to stay back here in Florida. I think he's pitching live here Tuesday, and they're still trying to get him built up. He was slowed at the start of spring training with a back issue, and then he developed some shoulder fatigue during his ramp up again. So, he says he's fine now. He's just kind of just building back his pitch count, so you'll probably see him sometime in early April back in the rotation that they've had to fill out now with Will Warren, the rookie, and Carlos Carrasco, the veteran, because, as you mentioned, Luis Gil is out until July with a lat strain. Garrett Cole, you won't see him till 2026 with Tommy John surgery. So, this is a compromised rotation, and they didn't have a lot of starting pitching depth to begin with.
Now, Pete, Giancarlo Stanton, elbows, I believe, plural, that he's dealing with. Is this going to be a long-term absence for the big righty slugger there?
Yeah, it sure looks like it, because he's not doing any baseball activity per se, and they haven't really given any sort of timetable to when he may begin hitting, and so this has kind of been a mysterious thing this spring. So I think if you're the Yankees, you have to proceed, not thinking that you're going to get much impact from that right-handed bat of Stanton's until perhaps the second half. I mean, that's just me speculating because from what we know about the injury, it's something he managed to manage last year. He said at various points during the regular season and through October and into the World Series. And, this is a guy who performed, as well as any hitter did in postseason last year, but he was still managing this tendonitis in both elbows. But it got to the point, I guess, in his ramp up over the winter where, this has become something that if he has to have surgery on it, it's going to cost him the year, and they're trying to desperately avoid that. So we'll see if these PRP injections that he's had in these elbows, take, and if he can start ramping up baseball activity soon, and then perhaps we'll get a timetable from there.
Pete Caldera, Bergen Record, talking Yankees. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Of course, New York defending American League champions. Now, Paul Goldschmidt, you got Cody Bellinger coming over from the Cubs, who 2 years ago was great. Goldschmidt's been an outstanding player throughout his career. How are some of the aged veterans now making their debut in the pinstripes looking so far in the spring and the anticipation level that they got a little fountain of youth in them?
Yeah, they've couldn't have had a better spring than Cody Bellinger had. I mean, he just looked like a Yankee from day one here. Really seemed to blend in well, likes being here. Certainly has a left-handed swing that's going to be very advantageous at Yankee Stadium. And, he just looks the part. He's played a good center field. He can also fill in at first base if you need it and not miss a beat there. And he's going to bat third in this lineup. Between Judge and Goldschmidt, it looks like against most days. So, and Goldschmidt has had a pretty good camp. He had a little bit of a back issue late in camp. They kind of backed him off, and then he's been back in the lineup. So that doesn't seem to be an issue right now. And this is a guy, obviously, who's been so durable in his career, but he is 37. But you're right. You're adding a guy who, knows what he's doing out on the diamond defensively and a presence in the middle of the lineup that they're hoping will be more like he showed in the second half with St. Louis than the first half when he was really lost at the plate. So, but it's been a good spring for those guys. Full year Jazz Chisholm at second base with, the power he can give you occasionally from the left side and the speed element, that should be advantageous. And then we'll see what the Yankees can get out of the rookie Jason Dominguez, who a lot's expected of him at age 22 in this lineup. And really, they don't have a leadoff hitter. I mean, they don't have a pure leadoff hitter, so they're going to try a catcher in that spot in Austin Wells, and then maybe against lefties, they'll put Goldschmidt up there. So, that's something to look at, too, because they've really had to mix and match and get creative at the leadoff spot, hitting in front of Judge, who will hit second.
Since you're down there in Tampa, how is Tampa Bay, how are they going to like playing in the Yankees stadium down there? And, what are the differences going to be? It's going to be hot. We know that in the summer.
Yeah, it seemed like what they're try to stack as many games in April and May here as they can. I don't know really looked at that, how that schedule is going to work. But, Alex Cora was in here the other day saying, get ready for a lot of rain delays. And July and August because that's just what it is here. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of indoor batting practice because, you know, if you spend any time in this part of Florida in June, July, and August, you become accustomed to the thunderstorms that roll in here about 4 o'clock every afternoon. That's certainly going to be an issue. But essentially, I mean, the Rays will be playing their home games at Yankee Stadium. You kind of said it there. I mean, it's the same exact dimensions here. So the left-handed hitters are going to love it, and you know, maybe not so much some of the right-hand hitters, but it's going to play like Yankee Stadium. And it's just an interesting dynamic here. In fact, it's interesting today just watching them transition this park from Steinbrenner Field with all the Yankee logos to something of a Rays home field here. And it'll just be fascinating to see how this plays out for 81 games in the Rays schedule.
Pete Caldera, Bergen Record, Orioles, Yankees, expected to be the favorites to win the division. Pete, last thing for you, as we're opening day week, with all due respect to the Cubs and Dodgers last week, looking at the rosters, the way they're put together today, the favorite to win the division is who?
In the American League East? Only because, I mean, I've been looking for a reason to not pick the Yankees, and the injuries certainly, you know, might have moved the needle there, but I'll still pick them, and I did pick the Orioles last year. I'll still pick the Yankees as the favorites to win this division because they have, the lineup that they have, even without Soto. And listen, there's no replacing Juan Soto, but there's a little better balance to it this year if they can stay healthy, and that means Judge, you know, staying healthy and having another MVP-type season. And, you know, everything playing out the way that they hope and expect will, and getting Luis Gil back in their starting rotation, and then having the resources to do something by the All-Star break, by the trade deadline that can help, push them across the finish line. You know, I still got to like the Yankees' chances, but, you know, if they have one more injury to their rotation, or if anything would happen to Judge or somebody big in that middle of the lineup, it's all bets off there.
Pete Caldera, Bergen Record. Pete, appreciate the time as always. The season has started. We'll be talking to you a lot this summer.
Anytime, guys. Looking forward to it.
You
thanks,
got it.
Pete.
Pete Caldera, it's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Draft profile number 2 coming up next. Go to Boston College. Miles Simmons has some NFL lunch with us for Pro Football Talk. How big are the Ravens in regards to favorites right now in the AFC North? Give you the Orioles lineup as they take on the Nats. Talk more about that. Maryland win last night, dramatic over Colorado State. Speaking of NCAA tournament, Evan Washburn, he was in Providence, saw the upset, Arkansas over St. John's. Rick Pitino went from a genius to a guy getting roasted by his own fan base.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Play with quick tempo. Uyunglele. Can't avoid the sack. Down he goes. Donovan is a Raku. With a big sack for BC back outside the 10.
ACC Network on the call. Donovan Azaraku, Boston College. He's next on Vinny's draft board.
Yeah, Donovan Azaraku, Boston College, 6'2.5", 248, jersey number 6, senior. 34-inch arms. Like that arm length, 9.25 hand. 35.5 vertical, which is good. 9'11 broad jump, average. 6.94 three cone, excellent, which is a change of direction thing and good with hips. 4.19 short shuttle, that's a good change of direction time also. 22 reps, 2.25. Not bad for a guy with 34-inch arms. 2021, played in 10 games, had 21 tackles, 3 sacks. 22, second team all ACC with 11 starts, 61 tackles, 14.5 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 2 PBUs. 2023, started 13 games, 53 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. 2024, he won the Ted Hendricks Award. First team all ACC, 11 starts, 80 tackles, 16.5 sacks, 20.5 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles, and he was the captain. His strengths, he's got long arms, he's fluid. Good arm over move. Shows speed to get the corner. Has good balance. Shows nice spin move. Good feet, good motor. He'll chase, he can bend. Good takeoff, quick hands, has punch. He can dip and get corner, natural hands. He stays alive. He's smart, aware, good production, good technique rushing passer. Maintains speed while bending the corner. Good arm length to lock out and shed. Good flexibility. Good combine numbers in testing. Good change of direction. He can slip blocks quickly. And a weakness, size. He plays high some. Trouble with big offensive tackles in the run game. Anchor strength to set a solid edge. Doesn't have power and lower for the bull rush. Now, in summary, I said I like this kid as a rusher. He has a lot of natural rush ability. He'll struggle with size in the run game versus big OTs, but he can help you in pass. For the Ravens, he would help rushing the quarterback on pass situations early in the season. I think he's a natural rusher. You know, I think he's, because of size and stuff, he'll struggle in the run. But if you put him in your nickel and dime situations and have a designated rusher, he is a natural rusher with hands and everything else. And he can bend the corner and do all those things. I as a rusher, I like him a whole bunch. But as a complete player, not yet. But as a rusher, situational, yes.
Doesn't look like he's projected to be a first-round pick, but no. Day two, day three, certainly part of the equation here.
But I think he's going to help a team because he's such a good pass rusher. But like I said, the run stuff, I'd run right at him. That's what's going to hurt him. Kind of like, you know, Van Noy was kind of like that, but he's gotten better against the run. And how do you get better against the run? You know, you understand leverage, you play lower, you know, you're able to set the edge, those types of things, you know, and you probably gain a little more strength and weight. 22 reps, 2 1/4 is okay, you know, but if he could get a little bit bigger, but you don't want to lose any of that speed or burst or explosiveness that you have in pass rush, because that's what's getting him to the league is his pass rush ability, and he was the best in the country last year at it.
When we come back, more football coming your way. Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk talking about the rest of the National Football League. Orioles Nats scheduled to get it on 105. Rich Dubroff tweeting out from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Not starting on time as we've got some overcast skies, but I got the Orioles lineup for you. Colton Cowser left field. Adley Rutschman's had a great spring. So is Moo Man, by the way. Rutschman batting second. Westberg's at second base. Today, O'Hearn's your DH, O'Neill's in right. Mountcastle, another strong spring. He's at first base. Said Mullins, he's hitting a buck something, whatever, it's spring. He's at center field. Ramon Urias is your third baseman. And Jackson Holliday, shortstop. I mean, looks like that's going to be the everyday shortstop kind of guy. Hyde did say he hopes Mateo gets a lot of at-bats next couple of days before they start Thursday in Toronto. Cade Povich, starting pitcher for the Orioles. He was named as the fifth starter, and it looks as though he might be getting the ball a week from today, the home opener against the Boston Red Sox. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, feed you some more football talk. Orioles and Terps, dramatic win. As Derek Queen went full Baltimore on Colorado State. And then we've got Evan Washburn to talk about the tournament. First two rounds, Sweet 16 is set. No Cinderellas. Is that a problem? I don't think so.